read a discourse by Buddha where he was making fun of people with lots of opinions, basically, saying how to get around the world annoying everybody. And I think that's a nice way, a nice kind of reminder that it's not about cleverness, actually. It's got wisdom to offer you, you can see the cleverness of things, is my understanding of it. And as you say, it's got something much more, something much deeper about it.
Sometimes, even if you're emotionally aware of things, sometimes life has got to help you. Life is just sometimes a closed door.
Mm.
No matter how hard you try, things just don't
happen.
That's something that's quite hard to do.
The first thing that occurs to me in response to that is that, well, as roughly translated, patience is a virtue. There's a, again, from the Dhammapada, a very early Buddhist text. I'll show the only bit of Pali I can ever remember, actually. Kanti paramang tapo titika. Patient forbearance is the strongest of ascetic practices. Tapasya. You know you've seen pictures of mad Indian sadhus, people who've walked around with their hands in the air for 35 years. Yeah, or people who've grown their fingernails through the backs of their hands, or had their genitals encased in clay, and really, you know, things like that. These things are these sort of ascetic practices. They're based on the idea that if you negate the body, as it were, it frees the spirit. Yeah? According to Buddhism, this is a wrong view. This is an eternalistic wrong view. So the whole kind of tradition of people lying on a bed of nails comes from this, and it's similar to sort of living on a Simeon's stylites, living on the top of a podium and stuff like that, or living in a plastic box for 40 days and not eating. Same sort of stupid thing, really. And so these are called tapas. And so the Buddha said that the most difficult thing to do, yeah, harder than any of these things to do, is to live with patience in the world. Yeah? Accept things as they are, as it were, and to be patient when things are unyielding, and just kind of do what you can do in a way. Sometimes the most creative thing we can do in a situation is want to do something different. You know, particularly you can find that when. Well, again, the occasion that occurs to me is one of my friends died this year, and sometimes the best you can do in a situation like that is just to love and want it to be different, because there's nothing you can do to change it. But you can want to be able to do something, and that's the most you can give in a way in a situation like that.
Is there a way we can, in the Buddhist manner, think about bringing about what we need or we need for somebody else? Is it purely meditating to bring about good thoughts about
that situation or that person you want to
benefit from your thoughts, or is there something different we can do?
This reminds me of a saying of Dadu Rinpoche, who's a Tibetan teacher, one of Sangharakshita's teachings. And he said that if you don't know what to do, if you're stuck, do something for someone else. Yeah. Act with generosity. Yeah, that'll start moving things. That'll start moving things in the right direction. So this is where we're back to this thing about you can't always address things head on. You know, you can't always change a particular relationship with somebody directly, as it were. You can't always change a situation. Sometimes, you know, if you set yourself up against the universe, you know, the universe is always going to win. Yeah? And one has to accept that, you know, what we're doing, you know, is we're trying to avoid the universe not being the way we want it to be. Actually, that's kind of why why we do what we do, as it were. And we have to find a way of coming into relationship with the fact that the universe isn't the way we want it to be, without kind of going belly up to it, yeah? Because the near enemy of that is just a sort of passivity kind of, oh, all right then, just be horrible, I know, you know. Martyring ourselves to the universe, as it were, being a victim of the universe.
I'm thinking more of helping somebody. We're in a church, for instance, people do go to church and they pray for X or Y.
Yeah, well, I think it's always good to send metta to people.
Yes.
Always good. And you'll find as you start doing that that does mysterious things, actually. You know, you put somebody in the metta bhavana, you know, you put somebody in the corner shop in the metta bhavana in the neutral stage a few times, and the next time you go in, they smile at you. You know, and stuff like that goes on, and it's kind of, you know, it's a weird universe out there.
You can actually do physical stuff as well. I guess it depends on the situation. Sometimes we can't do a great deal apart from meditating, but I guess there are situations. I don't know if this is just the question, but where we can actually take action and try and make things a bit better in whatever way we can, and that's obviously pretty worthwhile as well.
Yeah.
I think again, it's not a kind of complicated thing. You know, we generally know what needs to be done. I think it's just ourselves getting in the way of it sometimes.
Hmm.
I think we do want to, you know, do what we can in the way we can.
I think our emotions get in the way.
Well, our pride gets in the way, actually. It's mainly our pride that gets in the way, most of the time. Well, in my experience, mainly it's pride that gets in my way. Yeah, yeah, makes your life a lot easier, actually. I think a good question to ask is always, what can I learn here? That's always a smart question to ask.
I find it difficult. I'm like piggy in the middle in my family. You know, there's the older generation. So, you know, I have a mother. I am a mother. And there's the younger generation. And being piggy in the middle of the generations, I mean, I'm not separating the generations, but, you know, having all the... and it's a very difficult place to be sometimes. You know, it's like, that's needed, I'm needed, that's needed. And it's a very tricky place to be, and it's quite interesting on this wheel. That's how my mind is beginning. It is not comfortable on many occasions.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, you know, one has to be smart, strategic about what the nature of generosity is.
Yes, because you can, I personally see families in various ways. And as you said earlier, with your girlfriend Anne, you know, when I go to my mother, I'm either mothering her or possibly, you know, being an arrogant daughter, a child. And it goes the other way as well. I'm either, you know, being a mother or, you know, saying, oh, for goodness sake, you know, which is being a child. And it's a very difficult.
Yeah, well, sometimes the next step is simply bringing more awareness in.
Yes, of course. And pulling back, saying, you know, I can't be dealing with that, because they have their own lives. And getting my own life, you know, settled. Sitting back and saying, okay, as you say, it's a case of sending matter.
In a way, you know, but what this kind of whole thing boils down to is just kind of try and find some opportunities to introduce a bit of awareness so that you don't react quite so habitually, you know, whatever the situation.
Yes.
You know, try and have a little bit of space so that you're not just hurtling through into kind of what you always do next. You know, and that's why we teach the mindfulness of breathing and the metta bhavana here, yeah? The mindfulness of breathing slows things down a bit, yeah? You cultivate a bit more awareness, you've got a bit more room, you can start to see what's happening a bit more clearly, yeah? And then with the metta bhavana, you cultivate some emotional positivity, you can start to take advantage of that, you can start to make some choices, exercise a bit of creativity in the space you've opened up. And that pairing of the two is absolutely crucial.
And the generosity you're referring to,
I think that's just when you're kind of, in a way, generosity is always a good idea, you know, but it's a particularly good idea when you're stuck. And it's kind of like, oh, I've not got the faintest idea what to do here, you know, or you're kind of, or your energies have dried up or something, you know, you've kind of...
What kind of generosity are you referring to?
I mean, anything. Make someone a cup of tea, okay. Beef, you know, anything. Basically. Just do something. It doesn't really matter what it is.
Smile at somebody.
Yeah.
This is generosity.
Yeah.
Smile, a bit of eye contact. Because we go through our lives as Westerners and our eyes on the face. Or you've got the tradition or even a lip.
It's why men only whistle in public lavatories, you know. It's just kind of, I'm somewhere else.
I thought that's what you meant, but to be honest, I've missed what you meant. If there's something deeper than...
Well, both in a way.
Yes.
But the other will come out.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to look at this gap a bit more, and I'll look at this sequence of kind of what's called the spiral path. Yeah. Of it's just this traditional sequence of kind of these augmentative or spiral conditionality. And I'll look at that next week. And then the week after, we're going to look at karma and how the universe works. And then I think we'll look at, well, the last week, we're going to look at that black and white spiral in the middle. We'll look at ethics, morality. And then we'll have our Christmas party. Okay, thank you. If anybody feels stuck and would like to help themselves move on by expressing generosity by washing the dishes, I'm sure that would be deeply spiritually beneficial to them and very much appreciated by me. Thank you.